As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
You know, Julie, there was a, I think it was a Mad magazine from like ages back. Like it was published before my birth, and I ended up like finding it in a stack of my dad's old magazines and stuff. And there was one that depicted this medieval space race. Between, kind of like the holy war between the West and the Middle East, except it was the space race.
Okay.
And so you had the Catholic Church blasting off into space on a rocket that was propelled. It didn't have a rocket engine in the lower portions of the spaceship, but it had all these monks, and they were just like busy praying, and it was propelled into orbit via contemptus mundi, contempt for the Earth. And that was how they would achieve orbit.
I like it.
Yeah. But as it turns out, while there is not necessarily a Catholic space program or a Vatican space program per se, the Vatican and the Catholic Church is very interested in the cosmos.
Right.
I mean, to a certain extent, they have been for a long time because, there was a time back in the Middle Ages, you had to study astronomy in order to understand theology.
Right.
The Catholic Church was interested in calendars, so they're interested in the way the spheres are moving, and there's just a rich history of the two overlapping each other, at least until things become shaky, right?
Yes, yes. And of course, that brings to mind Galileo,
yes.
Right? And the whole heliocentric model.
Yeah.
Which turned the Catholic Church on its head back in the day.
Yeah, going from the idea that the Earth was the center of the universe to something else might be the center of the universe, namely the sun. And that it's kind of like you can keep telling me science, but the second when it starts interfering with the theology, then we're going to have a serious, frank discussion about why you're a heretic and why you should agree with us on this one.
Right, right. Because there's this idea, right, that humans have sort of a birthright to the universe.
Right.
And so if you're going to tell me that Earth is not the center of it all, then who is the center of the universe if it's not humans?
Yeah.
So that was like the main problem, right?
Yeah. Now, since that time, the theology has come around to encompass this idea. But at the time, the theology was not going to shift.
No, it took them 350 years to admit that Galileo was right.
Yeah.
And in 2009, they erected a statue to him. And I'm going to bet, I haven't seen the statue, but I'm going to bet it's not of him kneeling before the tribunal.
Yeah, or broken by the Inquisition.
Right, yeah. Right. Saying, no, it was never mind. That was all wrong.
Philip Glass did a, I believe, yeah, Philip Glass did a, an opera about Galileo, as I recall.
Of course he did.
I have not seen it, but my understanding is that it's told in reverse. So it starts with a broken Galileo, you know, with everything and his life in shambles, and then works backwards.
I love that guy. But every time I think of him, I always think of the sort of corresponding dance moves that tend to go along with any Philip Glass music. And it's always like people rolling back and forth on a floor.
Wow. You go to some interesting dance clubs.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see that?
Well, not so.
Oomst, oomst, and then the roll.
Yeah. Yeah. The house remixes of Philip Glass.
Yeah.
But no.
So yeah, there's the whole hullabaloo of heliocentrism, which mirrors in a weird way the search for extraterrestrial life, right?
Right.
Because again, it's furthering that idea of, well, if it's not us, or, you know, who is it? Are there other people out there? This idea that, this anthropomorphic idea being questioned.
Yeah. And people are going to be like, hey, God created Adam and Eve, not, Kling Lore and Suvacan or something, you know? I mean, just the idea that if we were to find alien, it throws a lot of things into, you have to reevaluate a lot of accepted theology, like the idea that, accepted within the various churches that say that God created humans in his image. Like,
right.
Then what does that mean if they're aliens? What is their role? Are they, do they need to be saved? Do they need to be converted, or are they good? What are the rules?
So it's really fascinating that the Catholic Church would involve itself so heavily as of late, like the last 2 years, in the cosmos. Mm-hmm. Again, not so much because of their past history. You know, they're very academic in terms of their view on cosmology. But the fact that they would even embrace the idea of aliens existing is sort of shocking.
Yeah, because it is one of those things that, like I say, it would throw a wrench into, I'm not saying that, you know, theology would have to shift to it and belief would change.
Right.
But, it would cause a lot of people to have to reevaluate how they view the universe.
Right.
So enter a man by the name of Guy
Consolmagno,
who I got to see him a couple of years back when he came and spoke at a local college.
He's a fascinating guy.
He's a really interesting dude. He maintains the Vatican's meteorite collection, among other things.
Oh, yeah. He has 2 degrees in Earth and Planetary Science from MIT, and he works for the Pope.
Yeah.
So that's how he's sort of bridging this whole, Catholic Church and science movement as of late. And specifically, he studies the origins of asteroids, dwarf planets, and objects orbiting the sun beyond Neptune. Mm-hmm. And he entered the Jesuit order in 1991. And this is what I thought was interesting, too. He has an interest in science because he was greatly influenced by science fiction.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a really cool beard, too, I have to say.
He has a magnificent beard.
Yeah.
He's
just a very well-spoken guy, like you say, though. I mean, he's been making the rounds recently.
Yeah.
Not just at faith-based colleges, but also showing up on like the Colbert Report, even kind of not exactly the most risk-free interview environment. He's showing up. He's just all over the lecture circuit.
No, but he's a savvy guy, and
yeah,
he's got a
savvy.
Lot of very interesting things to say about how the church is squaring, space exploration and aliens, the possible existence of aliens with theology.
Mm-hmm. And very upfront about say that, you know, the church getting it spectacularly wrong about Galileo or even, you know, touching on issues of intelligent design and evolution. Like he's not going so far as to say, the church should just be totally behind evolution, but you see him really stomping on, especially the American, conservative branch of, intelligent design.
He calls it bad theology.
Yeah.
And he says that it's been hijacked by American creationist fundamentalists and that it's essentially turning Christianity into a pagan god who's responsible for lightning and thunder.
Yeah.
Rather than the earth being responsible for its atmosphere. Which is like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, consider that. This is coming from someone in the Catholic Church. But there is a really interesting quote that I pulled, and this is from a SciComm UC Santa Cruz interview by Alyssa Poe. And she asked him, what's your advice for scientist believers who don't necessarily wear a collar? So you believe in God, but you're a scientist. And he said, there's nothing to be gained by talking religion in the scientific context. It doesn't belong there. I'd like to see more scientists who are churchgoers talk about their science in their church to their fellow parishioners, letting them know that science isn't the enemy. I think there's a great hunger for science among everyone. It's a human desire to know how the universe works. Also, you can't do science without admitting I don't have all the answers. Unfortunately, that's never the way science is communicated. Scientists like saying I've got the answers, when in fact real science says, no, I don't have the answers. I'm still trying to find them. That would lower the temperature of any discussion. So I thought, you know what? That is a really interesting, measured way to talk about that.
You know, it's basically the idea that that science is really important, obviously, and sets out to answer some extremely important questions about life. But maybe that that religion has an important role in the ethical dimensions of life that are outside the realm of science.
Right. He's saying that, you know, in terms of his interpretation of the Bible, he doesn't take it literally.
Mm-hmm.
That these are wonderful stories to glean lessons from. And I think that's his problem with the whole creationism thing,
yeah,
is that there's a lot of literal stuff going on there. But I have thought about this guy that, you know, he is fascinating to know more about. And in fact, if you want to go to SciComm and see the UC Santa Cruz interview by Alyssa Pohl, you can find out a lot more about him. But I sort of wondered, is this the guy who's driving this sort of mission from the Catholic Church, or is this just, you know, them being progressive?
Yeah, or is this the progressive guy that is really driving something in the church, or is, mm-hmm, this the progressive guy that they let off the leash to to sort of make good with the media?
Right.
Because you see some other things that the church is doing recently that falls into similar ground. For instance, the church recently backed an adult stem cell research company called NeoStem to the tune of about $1 million. Which, granted, that's kind of chump change for the church, but
right,
still, something as volatile as stem cells, and they're not going to get behind anything but adult stem cells,
right,
obviously at this point. But still, they at least threw a few bucks behind the adult stem cell research, which is interesting.
Well, and again, that's the scientific research part of it,
yeah,
right? So they are furthering that mission for science.
Mm-hmm.
They've also hosted a conference between astronomers, physicists, and biologists to discuss the existence of alien life and what effect it would have on the church and Christianity. And astronomer Father Fuentes, he said that the search for ET does not conflict with our faith, quote, because we cannot put creative limits on the freedom of God, unquote. So again, there's some really interesting messaging coming out of the Catholic Church about this.
Yeah, this guy's the same one who said that aliens might potentially live in a sinless state, which I think.
Yeah, I read that and went. Like, I still have a big question mark over my head about that.
Yeah, well, it does underline an interesting idea. I mean, it gets into the idea of what if we come across alien life and they're far better than us, they're superior to us, they're technologically, morally, ethically, way better than us. Then we wouldn't be able to, you know, walk into the room and say, "Hey, we got some pamphlets we want you to read." And they're like, "No, thank you. We're we've evolved beyond consciousness, and
we're sinless."
Yeah, and are sinless, by the way. You read our pamphlet.
Yeah, it's funny. Someone had posed the question about whether or not Consolmagno would baptize an alien,
uh-huh,
and he said, "Well, of course, if they would like that." But then he went on to say, like, you know, it's probably not likely that we're going to find this being, and there's the question of it being intelligent and us being able to communicate with it,
right?
And so it's not really a practical question.
Yeah, if you ask, it depends on who you ask about the whole, like, you know, what are the chances that there's life in the universe beyond us,
mm-hmm,
and then what are the chances that it's intelligent, and then what are the chances that we'll encounter it? It becomes a safer and safer bet that the church is making here by talking about it at all, you know, because it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of like I can talk all day about how great I'm going to be if an alien lands in the office here at work, but we both know it's not going to happen, so I'm not going to,
yeah,
have to, you know, I'll bake cakes and give speeches all day, but I'm not going to have to learn any lines or bring any baking stuff to.
Like, they're not going to have to commit to baptizing aliens,
yeah,
and really getting behind that in earnest, right?
Yeah, it's a safe bet.
Yeah,
that's my read on it.
No, I know. I think it's very interesting, and I think, you know, are they ahead of the curve, or, you know, is this a marketing stunt?
Yeah, we were making the comparison yesterday to the episode of The Office, the American version, where Everyone's afraid of age discrimination. So Creed, the older creepy dude on the show, he shows up to work with his hair dyed black and starts trying to talk about things that are young and hip.
Yeah.
So, you know, the cynical side of me reads a lot of this and sees Creed with his obviously dyed black hair, where it's, you know, it's like the old church saying, hey, how about those space aliens?
So what you're saying is that the church is trying to appeal to a wider audience and is wearing skinny jeans underneath their vestments.
I think that's one view that one can take. That's one interpretation of what's going on. I don't necessarily think that's, there are probably a lot of minds, behind this movement. And there's some people, I'm sure Guy totally believes in what he's putting out there.
Oh, no. You know? I mean, that's the interesting thing about this person is that he's a scientist,
yeah.
You know, through and through. I think he happens to wear the collar.
Right.
And he's trying to square that for himself, possibly, and for the Catholic Church and for our perception of that. So there's no doubt. I don't think that he's like any sort of marketing machine. I think he's the real deal. And mm-hmm. that's why he's so fascinating. He's got some really interesting insights into science and theology. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess we'll know on the marketing side. If that's mm-hmm. really what they're pursuing, if the Pope, you know, addresses an audience and starts dropping LOL references, or like Creed comes out with some blue hair, perhaps.
This presentation is brought to you by Intel, sponsors of tomorrow.
It's hard to say, but I think it's a fascinating proposition for where we are right now that the Catholic Church is looking at science in this way
mm-hmm.
and opening the discussion and asking people to consider their place in the world in the context of life outside of the earth.
Yes.
I'm trailing off a little bit on that because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to get too philosophical, but you know, I think you're picking up what I'm putting down there.
Yeah. It makes me think of a line, a quote that I got from a professor by the name of Varadarja V. Raman, and he's the author of Truth and Tension in Science and Religion.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, he's actually a Hindu.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of interesting ideas on this because he often puts out that there's not really a clash between science and Hinduism, that the controversies between science and religion tend to exist more in Western societies. And he had this great bit that he told me. He said, I seriously doubt that the dialogue between religion and science will cease. But I do believe that as a result of these exchanges, religion is likely to become less irrational in some of its expressions. In fact, one would hope that the greatest contribution science can make in calming religion is to eradicate the many unpleasant, unhappy, and in many cases destructive aspects of religious expression. So I personally find that really encouraging. I like this view that it's not a situation of science and religion duking it out and just extremists
or
on both sides.
Or us and them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That these two things can coexist in a way that is not harmful to the culture as a whole.
Yeah, and I've always wondered why we've had to set up this paradigm of the other.
Yeah.
You know, as humans, in order to think that we have to exist the way we exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's interesting that both sides could possibly come to the table and for the greater good of humanity.
Yeah.
I'm holding out for that.
Yeah. And I like the idea that finding alien life wouldn't just freak everyone out and send everybody into a tizzy. Cause I don't feel like my worldview would be changed significantly if we found aliens, but you know, I wouldn't jump off a building. So
do you think the aliens might be wearing a funny hat? That's the question.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any listener email?
Oh, we do have some listener email. A listener by the name of Mr. Squirrel. Right. And, you know, you get to choose. You get to choose your own name on the internet. So go for it. Says hi. I love the squirrel. Well, no, he says hi. I love the podcast. I had a few quick additions to your subliminal messaging podcast. In particular, I'm fascinated by the ways in which casinos have used it to keep their clients paying. And then Mr. Squirrel adds these three examples. No visible clocks anywhere on the floor to cause people to lose track of time. Bright flashing lights and loud sounds to disorient and tantalize people with the chance of winning. And a maze-like floor design so that people will walk by many games on their way in and out.
I'm seeing some similarities with casinos and workplaces a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do we have?
We don't really have clocks around. We have somewhat of a maze.
We do. But it doesn't go through like a gift shop or anything.
Well, you haven't been to the gift shop?
I haven't. Where's the gift shop?
Oh, man. If you haven't been, I don't know that I can tell you.
Okay.
That's not a janitorial closet. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, cool. Casinos are very interesting. We could probably do a whole podcast on just the ways that they mess with people and ensnare them.
And it wouldn't be fascinating, too, to run an MRI on someone who's gambling.
It would.
Yeah.
What's going on in that head of yours as you're playing the one-armed bandit? Here we have another one from a listener by the name of Efren. And they're writing in response to the Attack of the Creative Brain podcast. They say, I'm an artist, a visual artist. So many times I have thought, I'm crazy. And I've gone on to accept that, just because I'm an artist. Until you said that it could be possible that my mind just gets overloaded with ideas. I've accepted my craziness, and I know that I'm always thinking of ideas nonstop. I can't help it. If someone says something about, a tree, I'll immediately picture trees in my head. I'll draw them in my head a variety of ways, and I'll automatically begin to brainstorm idea after idea, like I'm watching it being created in my head rather than contributing. I feel there are ideas in my head that are originally mine, and I feel there are ideas in my head that I have received. I've always felt like just a vessel. I know I'm just a vessel. And now, thinking of it, it kind of makes me think of another podcast of yours, Is Your Gut a Genius? When you guys said that we are just host to all of this bacteria. So is our brain, too. Am I simply a transmitter equipped with the dexterity and circumstances to receive, interpret, and relay creative information through visual representation? So is the crazy my ability to organize these ideas? A mental stenographer is what I am in great need of. Let me know if you come across one. Thanks for your info.
So again, another great email with tons of insight. Because we did. We talked about that. We talked about the parallels between, people who have this ability to not filter out as many ideas, right? And I believe this was the flow of neurons.
Yes.
And then there was this schizophrenic aspect. And that's not saying that people who share this similar, brain action are all crazy. It just says that, they've studied schizophrenics and they've studied people who are highly creative and they notice that the same thing happens.
Yes.
So it's really interesting to hear a firsthand account about that.
Yeah, just an insight into the artistic mind and like what's going on when you're creating things. So,
yeah.
So cool. Thanks for letting us know about that. And so if you have any interesting ideas you want to share about how casinos ensnare our mind, how the creative process works, or indeed, if you have any thoughts on the whole combination of church and cosmos and the Vatican's interest in space and how that might relate to your own worldview, then let us know. We're on Facebook and Twitter as Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots, Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.